5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Linux Link Tech Show is on. Your link to GNU Linux and the latest technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Free software, free speech, open technology, and open mic.
I love it.
Now, live from the Linux Link Tech Show studios, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up and take it away.
I have a command line here for streaming stuff from TiVo. If you want that?
For streaming stuff, all of that stuff is for like a first gen TiVo where they actually hacked it to get a web interface thing.
No, this is actually for regular TiVo. This is for TiVo too, because I use it on up here. I just remembered it.
So, like, you, what do you mean? You actually...
It'll stream... basically, what you have to do is you have to get the URL from the web page.
Right.
So I don't know if your stuff already gets that there on it. And then you give it the URL along with the little script, and it will actually stream it to your... It'll stream it and then pump it through TiVo Decode and then out in Dan Player. So you can watch it on your computer.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes.
Hey, Pat, you were right,
I'll send it over
man.
To you. I don't remember how the hell I got this, or where the hell I got this little line for it. I know I didn't put together the line, but I'll send it to you.
All right, cool.
What was that, Dan?
You were right. Beer League is on. So I'm on Monday, May 26th at 1 a.m., so I'm going
to... Yeah, record
to,
it, man. It's definitely worth the watch.
Record that. And,
yep, it's definitely worth the watch.
And get to see what has become of Ralph Macchio. How do we introduce
tonight,
our first call-in?
Sure. Tonight we're going to do a listener call-in episode, and our first person we're going to talk to is Scott Davila. Now, Scott is not related to me. His name is spelled differently from mine. He's got two L's in his name, and I only got one L.
Likely
and,
story.
Scott, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Scott... I noticed your posts on the MIT TV mailing list. You are running Apple TV as a MIT TV high def front end, correct?
Correct.
How hard it is to get it going?
It's actually pretty easy. That's one of the things I've worked pretty hard on in the last couple of months to do, is to make it quite easy to put a Linux system, be it, Mythbuntu, Canopix, whatever type of myth you're interested in, to get it onto the Apple TV and also to be able to do it without opening it up. So you don't really have to worry about any type of warranty issues either.
Now, you see, if I were to get an Apple TV, I would completely wipe out OS X off of it. You're going about a little bit differently, right?
You're
doing a dual boot, right?
You actually have a couple of different options. You can coexist with the Apple TV and use a small USB flash drive to, say, bootstrap the Linux side. Or you could completely wipe it out and replace it with the Linux distro of your choice. You've got perfect flexibility in terms of what you want to do with it.
So I assume there's a project going for this, right, that you're involved with?
Yeah, there's a project. I'm not the first person who's gotten boot on Linux on the Apple TV. I'm actually leveraging some work done by some other people. The first guy I did it was Edgar Huckel, I think, H-U-C-E-K. He's actually the first person that did it, and what I've done is taken his work greatly commented it up because it was quite sparse in comments, and extended it so that you can actually boot a non-modified Linux kernel with it. The other bootloaders required you to really do some pretty heavy, nasty patches to the Linux kernel, and as such, it would never go mainstream because you have to know how to patch a Linux kernel to get everything going and up and running. Where with my method, it boots off of a standard Ubuntu kernel, no patches. There's a couple of minor patches for analog audio and infrared support if you want to use, say, the Apple TV infrared controller. So the whole concept behind it was to make it really, really easy to run Myth on the Apple TV and also to be able to run very standard distributions or distributions that required very minimal modifications to make it very easy to actually get Myth up and running and working.
Now,
does
that lend itself into just running Linux on it, you know, as a, I guess, probably an underpowered, like, Linux box?
Well, I wouldn't call a 1-gig Pentium N underpowered. It's about equivalent to, I'd say, about a 2.5 P4. The CPU is surprisingly powerful. It can easily handle most 720p H.264. Can easily handle 720p MPEG-2 without having to resort to any type of hardware decode like the XBMC on with the NVIDIA graphics card. To reach into 1080i MPEG-2, you do have to get into the XBMC stuff. But for 720p, not a problem. For you know, your standard standard definition, piece of cake. It runs that without a problem. So it's
That's
actually
awesome,
a pretty, man. It's a pretty powerful little box, and the cost is dirt cheap for what it does. You can't touch it with anything. There's no hardware platform out there that can come in at the price point it has with everything that it has in it you know, be a little silent front end.
You see, right now I'm using a Hapag Media MVP as a thin client on one TV, and those can be had for I think $99 new, and between $50 and $75 secondhand. And I got mine secondhand, and it works real well. The only limitation to that is that it's standard def only, but it's pretty easy to get going as a Myth, you know, thin client. And it works pretty well. It does all the basic features, you know, watching your shows, listening to some music, accessing. You could set up NFS shares and, you know, on your server and access files that way. If you do like non-MPEG 1 or 2 video files, you need to have VLC running as a streaming server, and then you can access like DivX, XVIDs, MP4s. With it that way, but it's tiny, this thing. So, you know, looking forward, I started looking around at some high-def Myth TV front ends, and right now that doesn't seem to be a whole lot of options. The Apple TV is one of them. There's a couple others out there. You know, some people put those little Epia systems. That's a little more expensive to do that. You're talking $200-$300 to do that, right?
Right, right. I have a lot of experience with those. We use a lot of those at work. We use a lot of the ITX platforms, which is that footprint, you know, the smaller motherboard footprint that people are using for media center type stuff. And so I have a lot of good comparisons. One of my comparisons is actually another Pentium M that's about 1.7 gig running on a... it's a pure Intel chipset ITX. But the whole point is, okay, yeah, I can actually do 1080i decode without having to do any video hardware decoding on it with the 1.7 gigahertz Pentium M. But if you look at the price point, the motherboard itself costs about $275. That's motherboard. No CPU, no memory, no drive, no enclosure, no nothing, just the motherboard. And that's pretty much what you're looking at, unless you go to the VIA boards. And I don't trust VIAs. We've had a big problem with VIAs and USB with what we do at work. And they just don't have a 24/7 footprint. They can't stay up forever. And even with a VIA, $150 for a 1 gig, the 10K VIA. Can't do real HD on it. It's only limited to 1024 by 768. You can't stretch it out further than that because it doesn't have enough memory and it's frame buffer. So you have to go to some type of PCI card to help you out there. And even then, it's 1 gig, but it's really not 1 gig. It's more like about 600, 700 megahertz comparable. And by the time you add up all the bits and pieces and hardware and closure and all the other, you know, stuff that makes up a good-looking, you know, device you'd want to have in your TV room or your media room or living room, wherever you have this thing, you're looking at $500-$600.
Right now the Apple TV is probably the best bet for a high-def thin client that you could set up that
right.
Nice and small.
Yeah, right now it's the easiest way to jump into something like if you have content that's any of the 720 style, any 720p, be it MPEG 2 or H.264, MPEG 4, 1080i type HD for MPEG 2, the Apple TV will do that without a sweat. It actually does it quite nicely. It'll work on, the Apple TV has a HDMI port, so you could drive DVI with it. It has component, but the component can also drive composite, which is something I just found out recently, which was sort of like a duh. Well, of course it should be able to do that, and NVIDIA cards can do that. You just tap off the right component, I forget which one it is, plug that into your component input on your TV, and away you go. So you don't really need to have an HD TV to actually view the media content on it. The only suggestion that I do have is that because of how Myth is designed and it's the way it handles remotes, it really wants more than six buttons on a remote. And you could probably spend a couple hours reconfiguring it to work nicely with a six-button remote. But the easiest thing to do is get a cheap $30 Microsoft MCE remote, plug it in, all of the distros know about it already, and away you go. And you have a remote that's already pretty well known in the Myth world, and that works really well.
Yeah, that's a good remote control, that Microsoft one, which is a Philips rebranded remote control. And that's what I use on my main Myth box. That uses MCE USB 2 module, and it works real well. $30 you can get those for, and it has a blaster too, two blasters.
Right, if you're paying more than $30, you're getting ripped off. You know, depending on where you find them, $20-$30, and it's got receiver, transmitter, it's got the remote. It's really a nice, inexpensive package. There are other ways to do to get more functions out of the Apple TV remote, but that requires, say, like a learning remote. One of the very little known facts about the Apple IR receiver is it can actually have. It looks like about 256 different personalities because of how they do it. And so what you can do is you can actually program up a learning remote for all of your button functions and still stick with the standard Apple remote receiver, you know, the IR receiver in the Apple TV, and just drive everything with a different kind of learning remote. And the JP1 compatible remotes happen to be really good for this because you can actually get down and get nitty-gritty and dirty and define them up down to the bit level of how you want them to work. So there's something I'll be looking into is this JP1 compatible remote to see how that works. It will get rid of another box, but we'll see.
What are you using for your main myth box?
The main myth box right now is it's a home-built Core 2 Duo. I love Core 2 Duos. It's running actually a older version of Myth Ubuntu. I believe it's a 7.10 version with the 021 fixes branch, whatever is the current mainline branch, not the dev branch, but the main branch, or the stable branch, I guess you might call it. And it's actually kind of interesting because I have two PVR-150 cards in there, and they're hooked up to two Dish Network 311 receivers. So I'm pulling my standard definition content from Dish off of satellite using the internal IR transmitters or the IR bugs to control that. And then for my high def, I'm actually using a HD home run off of standard off-the-air antenna.
How do you like off-the-air for high def? What do you get, all the network channels?
Well, it's pretty much all the network channels, and it's great. I really have to get my antenna out of the attic and get it up on the roof or on a tower because I'm shooting about 50 to 75 miles to the actual transmitters. So I'm really shooting a long ways away from it. And some of them, I would like to see a little better reception because with digital, you know, it doesn't just get fuzzy, it just drops. We're looking at that. And then I'm also quite interested in the new, what is it, the HD PDR that's coming out. That will from Component.
The Hopog 1212?
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, what's good about that device is that it's going to hook up to any outputting video device, either a cable box or a satellite box or even a Blu-ray or an HD DVD player.
Anything that can pop out.
Through the component connection.
Right.
Which is very good because I have an HD DVD player. I've got about 10 discs that I probably would like to rip eventually before the player dies. So that's probably going to be an option. That hasn't been released officially yet. They've delayed it a couple times.
Well, it's been released, but it hasn't been shipping. There's some type of plastic case problem that the manufacturer is talking about. But it'll come out. I don't see any showstoppers against it. There's a lot of naysayers out there that say, "Oh, the networks and the Hollywood are going to jump all over it," but they can't.
Yeah, they can't.
It's a done deal. These guys are not idiots. They already know the market, and they're going to sell a boatload of them. And I do like the fact that it's USB. It's got plenty of bandwidth to handle USB. So if you want a whole boatload of them, you just put a bunch of USB to, you know, PCI to USB cards in and chain the suckers right off. And I'm actually quite interested in it because even for my standard definition, because it looks like it will record, say, like S video, I'll get a better quality recording. PVR-150s are not really well known for their quality. In terms of the recording quality, you can do better, but hey, it's cheap technology for me. So I am quite interested in how well it does standard definition as well as the high def. Once that comes out we start to see a little bit more reports on it, then I might even start thinking about upgrading my Dish service to HD. And I'm pretty sure that when I do that, I'm not going to get an HD receiver for downstairs. I'll have the receivers upstairs, and it will translate over to a total MIS system at that point.
Yeah, that looks like an awesome device. With cable television, there's an FCC regulation where they have to have a working FireWire port. For some reasons, the satellite companies are you know, they don't have to abide by that. So
right.
Dish Network and DirecTV, they don't have working FireWire ports. So it's a bit of a pain in the ass to get HD off a satellite right now for MIF.
Correct. I think the very first HD receiver might have had that, but they never activated it. They figured out some way to wiggle around it. And the whole point was originally TVs were going to have FireWire ports on them, and that was the way the content was going to get to a TV, but that kind of all exploded And we ended up with this redheaded stepchild called an HDMI connector, which they liked a lot better, I guess.
Yeah, HDMI, it's good and bad. It's good because, you know, you're pushing a high-def signal through one cable now with the audio and video, so, you know, you can get rid of some cables. But it's bad because it has the, what is it, the 5C protection scheme they can implement?
Right, right. The copy protection embedded scheme on it. And plus the connectors, it's a chibbly little thing, and it's going to fall off and break, and they didn't really think long-term of, you know, when you connect something, you want to connect it and screw it down. And there was a lot of problems. I know Dish had a lot of problems with a lot of their early receivers that had HDMI outputs where the connector would just fail. It would pull off the PCB board and do all sorts of wacky things. They've gotten better now in terms of getting secure mounting on it. But, you know, it's not like a DVI connector where it's like you screw the sucker in and it's in there and you know it's not coming out.
Yeah, there's other high-definition capture devices that are coming out. I know the next generation Neuros OSD, that's going to be coming out. We spoke to Joe Bourne a few weeks back, and that's going to be, you know, I put a little you know, bug in his ear, you know, trying to push that it should be compatible with MIF TV. Supposedly, Hophog is going to have the successor of the Media MVP that'll do HD. So that'll be interesting to keep an eye on that one too. So Scott, what do you do in your job?
So that'll be interesting because what I found is all of these you know, set top front end boxes, they tend to use a Sigma chip as a system on a chip, and which is all fine and dandy. But what happens is you can't get to the information to be able to say drive the decoders. So while you can maybe run Linux on it or get into it and do whatever you want to with Linux, you can't get to the MPEG-2 decoder part. And we actually, I've been in this HD stuff for a long time, and I don't know if you ever remember a company called Roku.
Vaguely sounds familiar.
Well, Roku, a long time ago, they came out with a very interesting front-end box called a HD1000. And it had a ATI Exilion chip in there, which is, it was this dinky little 300 megahertz MIPS processor inside that runs Linux. But the nifty thing about it, it was married really close to graphics hardware that could handle not one, but two HD, full 30 megabit HD streams, and eight standard definition streams, all MPEG-2, all at the same time. And it was a great box. The problem was is the company kind of lost focus. They originally started selling these as little kiosk things where people could you know, put some little animated pictures onto an HDTV in some lobby somewhere. And they opened it up a little bit so people could do third-party software on it. But they kept the important bits hidden away and closed because I guess they couldn't get licensing from ATI. And eventually what they did is they forgot how to manufacture it. They couldn't manufacture them anymore. And the whole thing basically kind of faded away. And I have one of those. And it's a great box. There's a guy who's done a Myth front end for it called Myth Roku. Works great. Works like a champ. Can even handle you know, HD standard definition. I believe he's based it off of code from the Media MVP stuff. And when I was faced with the whole reality of like, okay, I've bought this $500 box and now I'm orphaned. And it still works, but I can't get it fixed. It's got a finite lifetime and I can't expand it very much. I decided that I wasn't ever going to do that again. And that's when the Apple TV came out, and I saw that somebody could boot Linux on it, and this all happened about a year ago, I guess. That's when I said, got to have one of those, because if you can boot Linux on it, and it's a standard NVIDIA chipset, everything downstairs inside of it is standard Intel stuff, standard chipsets, there's no mysteries going on, it was a perfect box. So it's not really a thin client if you think about it. It can actually be a full-blown Myth front end, Myth back end. I've run it pulling HD from my HD home run, and it actually works pretty well. It's surprisingly. It's got the disk really busy, but it's surprisingly how well it works.
Have you tried the Apple TV default setup with, you know, the iTunes store and all that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually like the Apple TV. I like the Apple Store, the whole idea of being able to rent the movies. Because there's a couple of movies, you know, I've got a lot of DVDs, but I've kind of tapered off on buying DVDs, the only ones that I really got to have. I'm not playing into the whole Blu-ray, HD, DVD. I'm not quite sure how well that's all going to play out in the long term. And so I'm pretty picky about the DVD I bought. You know, it's got to be really good, something I want forever. But if I want to watch a DVD, I can just dial it up into iTunes and be done with it. And I can get my little sci-fi fix for a couple of bucks. And, you know, maybe if it was good, I'd go and get it, buy it, and rip it. Maybe not. The thing that's really missing, and the hacking community on the Apple TV have done a pretty good effort at it. It's a bit of a chase game, because every time Apple updates their OS, they don't care what the hackers have done. They don't even pay attention to what they've done. And they naturally migrate their OS depending on their own little needs for it. But I really think that, you know, as like the attention that's gone on with the iPhone, if the Apple TV had an SDK where you could write legal plugins, legal things to do it, people have done, an OS X version of Myth running under the Apple TV plugins, all sorts of very interesting plugins have come out of that world. I don't know. Maybe it would be a really nice thing. There's one thing that I'm looking at. In the way I do stuff, I happen to use something called Kex to bootstrap a kernel. And it's a fairly interesting routine. It's actually used in the PlayStation 3 to boot up Linux on it. And it happened to dovetail really nicely with the work I was doing. So I use it in the bootloader that I've created for the Apple TV. But I've just been thinking about this in the last couple of weeks about, gee, there are some things I can have an Apple TV, and I can have Linux and the Apple TV OS coexist on the same hard drive, but I have to do a little bit of conniption. Oh, it's not that much of a conniption, but it's like, you know, to boot from one to the other, I have to do a little bit of a sequence. And it would be so nifty if I could just select, I want to do Myth in the Apple TV OS and Kex right into Linux, or have a little entry in Myth TV, I want to flick back to Apple TV OS. And Kex is really interesting. It allows you to be able to do something like that, to be able to flick not only just between a program, but flick between different OSs in a very painless operation without having to go through a whole reboot cycle. So you just basically flip and launch and you're gone. And the kernel and file system comes up in about 15, 20 seconds.
So I take it your background, you do an embedded work?
I do embedded work. I do application work. I do hardware work. I do all sorts of things. You name it with computers, I've done it. So I'm perfectly savvy, you know, down at the FPGA level. I'm down up at the high application level. My personal interest is I'm very interested in how the Apple TV works inside, how they've done everything, why did they put, you know, this bit over here versus over there. You know, it's more intellectual curiosity with that. And I'm still hunting down certain things. There's a couple little nuances, like there's a little LED on the front panel, and it would be nice to get control of that. But the normal Apple mechanisms of where you would control the LED are not there on the Apple TV. They're actually elsewhere. They're part of the internal USB controller that handles the infrared. And so I've been working on trying to get control of that to see what it's doing and how to control it to stop the blinking LED that unless you put a piece of black tape over it, can annoy you. So all in all, it's been a pretty interesting project. I've been quite actually thrilled with the amount of people that have been downloading it. And I guess I'm doing a good job on the wiki guide because I don't get a lot of people asking me, this doesn't work, how do I do that, how do I get to here? Most people seem to just download it, go, and I'll get a little flash of, works great, thanks.
That's cool. What's the website?
It's actually a bit of a crazy website because it's built under Google code. Let me actually get the right wording on it. That doesn't have the right wording. So anyway, it's http://code.google.com/p/ATV bootloader. And basically, if you search in Google for ATV bootloader, ABT-bootloader, you'll see a ton of hits with a Davila with two L's on it. Hello? You still there?
Yeah,
you're looking at
Tux on the Apple TV. So a lot of people they discount the Apple TV because they think, one gig, it's got to be slow as stones. Well, it's a one gig Pentium M, and Pentium M's are very different beasts than, say, a Pentium 4. They're actually quite peppy. And it does have like a 4 meg cache in front of it, so it's quite responsive.
Cool. Yeah, so this is definitely a good option. Right now they're going for about $199, 175 used on eBay. I'm sure once Apple decides to kill off Apple TV, the prices will drop.
It'll be interesting to see what they come out with, if they decide to or not. A lot of people say the Apple TV doesn't sell well, but I don't think so. Based on the people I've gotten interest from, and other little hints and everything else, I think it actually does pretty well for what Apple has intended it for. They're definitely making money off of it. Apple doesn't do anything without making money off of it. So rumors of them selling it as a lost leader are completely false. I've been doing Apple stuff since they came out in, 84? My first Apple was a Mac Plus. That's dating me a little bit. So it'd be interesting. I've also got an iPod Touch that I stream, can stream Myth to. A couple of people have done a couple of interesting stuff where using an Apache web server you can do transcoding and streaming of your content wirelessly over to like an iPhone or a Tiny Touch. And there's a big rumor right now that they've got some other bigger thing planned, some type of touch screen that's bigger than an iPod or an iPhone, but who knows? You never know with what Apple's up to. They're sneaky guys.
Yeah, don't hold your breath for an open SDK from them for the Apple TV. I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Well, you never know. There's a lot of interesting things that they've done inside the OS that I can see propagated to, say, like the iPhone and the iPod Touch. And I don't know if the Apple TV was like an experimental platform just to see what was going on. The whole thing is an SDK would go miles and would totally explode the whole Apple TV type issue. especially if you can get to the Grax decoder for doing MPEG-4 or, you know, H.264 type stuff. The Apple TV is actually, a lot of people think it is, but it's not using NVIDIA hardware decode for MPEG-4. It's H.264 decode. It's not using it.
So it's the processor that's doing it all?
Sorry?
So it's the processor doing the decoding?
Processor's doing the decoding, because I can do the same thing it can do in CPU alone, and I still have a decent reserve of CPU left. And if in looking at the Apple TV, because I know how to get into it when it's running, it's a fairly standard mechanism, and all of your standard tools work the same, so you could figure out what CPU processors or, you know, what type of performance it's using. And I don't really see any sign that it's using hardware decode. If it was using hardware decode, it could do 1080p, H.264, no problem. So you never know. They might come out with a 3.0 that does 1080p. They might not. It's hard to tell. But the big thing is with running Apple TV, Linux on the Apple TV, is you basically own the box. It's just like, you know, any old Intel box that you have. There are certain little, you know, quirks that it has in terms of the disk format that you need to boot off of if you want, you know, everything bootable. But there's also ways around that with a bootstrap. So, you know, I look at it, it's pure hardware. You know, hardware that serves a really nifty function, and I can go into it and do whatever I want to inside of it. Run a full-blown myth system on it too. I've got some people that are interested in running, what is it, Linux MCE. Not sure about that. That's pretty heavyweight. So we'll see. And it actually makes quite a nice little Linux box if you just want to run a desktop Linux for like desktop Ubuntu Linux on it. It's a pretty doggone cheap little Linux box. Built-in Wi-Fi.
Cool. Excellent stuff, Scott. And your stuff is released under the GPL, which is a good thing.
Always go that way.
Very good. Well, thanks for coming on, man. It's nice talking to you.
Sure. Well, excellent. I enjoy talking about my little toys.
Yeah, I've been playing around with Myth TV for a long time. These guys have been doing a little bit less. Alan's been doing it for a while now, right, Alan? How long have you been playing with Myth? A couple of years?
A couple of years. Well, my playing is basically just getting it up and running and using it. I don't really do any hardware hacking or anything.
Yeah, I've been playing with the Media MVP. That's a cool little device. It's super tiny. It runs a version of Linux called NVPMC, which is built on BusyBox, I believe. And what it does is it probes your network for first for an IP address, and then a TFTP server, and then what it does is it'll go down and pull down a boot image of the actual OS, and it's off to the races then. Like, then once that's once it's on there, it'll probe your network to see if there's another MythBox out there, and it connects, and you can access any of the videos that are on your MythBox. It's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah, the quality's good, and it's tiny, low-powered, doesn't make any noise. You know, the only negative, it's standard def, so.
Not negative for me, I only have those kind of TVs.
Well, you know, the IA is going forward, you know. One of the cool things that I like about the TV is that, you know, you can upgrade it and add different hardware and encoder cards and devices to it. You know, stuff like the you know, hopefully the Hopog device and the HD Home Run. A lot of people like that device. Now the HD Home Run, that's like network capable, right? You just plug it into an Ethernet port?
Plug it right in, 10100 Ethernet.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you pull down high-definition content from that. That's got dual tuners, right?
Two tuners, and it actually also has a infrared receiver. It's not used very much. Most people like me who have HD Home Runs, they don't sit in the living room. They sit, you know, back where the back end sits.
Yeah, so this good stuff. I'm glad the HotPod device is coming out. You know, a lot of people had difficulties capturing high def stuff, and I know I've talked to some people who run Myth, you know, in the local log over here, and they were getting the high def stuff off their cable box through the FireWire port, and you know, for the most part, that works pretty well. The only issue with that is that certain cable companies will block certain channels. So your mileage will vary from cable company to cable company.
Right, right. Or the other game they play is they'll actually move channels around, so you have to constantly...
Yeah, they'll change the frequency number, and you got to redo them every so often, which is kind of annoying. But anyway, was that Scott who just dropped off?
No, still here.
Oh, somebody else dropped off.
I was going to say who dropped off.
I don't know. Maybe somebody else dialed in.
Well, Dan said he had to run on the other channel. So.
Okay. Yeah, but Dan didn't drop off yet.
Okay. Oh, hello?
So that means it must be Link.
It's Link.
Oh, that was you who dropped off.
You guys blame that one on Alan. The bastard sent me over a...
what the hell did he do?
Sent me over a TiVo script.
Oh, what did you kill?
Yeah, to stream stuff from your TiVo. And I was dinking with it while you guys were talking. And first of all, the script is broken because it doesn't use the Mac for TiVo decode.
Okay.
So once
I had it working a while back. I haven't used it in a long time. So
once you actually fixed that shit, I started it up and it just stomped my freaking network, man. Dumped my phone connection.
Oh, sorry about that.
Totally stomped it.
Sorry
so how
about
you like
that.
How you liking your TiVo, Link?
I'm loving it, man. I'm loving it. I love it for two reasons, right? Three reasons. One, it runs Linux. Two, it does exactly what I want it to. And three, the fact that I enjoy it pisses off RMS. It just couldn't be better, man, you know?
To each his own, that's what I'd say. If you're happy with the TiVo, more power to you. I like the flexibility of what the Myth TV can do, you know, as far as upgradability and moving forward.
Oh, me
forward.
Too. You know, me too. It just, in my, you know, in my personal situation, I had to look at, you know, of financial and time considerations too, and I just didn't have either one of them right at the moment, but I still needed, you know. I still have the need and the drive to be able to watch my TV when I want to watch it. And, you know, the quick and dirty and cheap answer for me was just to pick up a TiVo, which, you know, works pretty damn well.
Now, which one did you get?
It's a Series 2 dual tuner.
That's standard def, right?
Yeah, standard def. $100. Plug it in and it goes.
Now, did they give you a free subscription, or are you paying the $13.95 a month?
No, I'm paying the $13 a month or whatever.
So you're paying $155 a year for the
Yeah, I just paid them off for a year, and I'm done with it. And you know, at the end of my year tour, if I'm still happy, I probably will get another year. If I'm not, then you know, then maybe at that point in time, I'll have the wherewithal to start pissing with building myself a big Myth box to do what I want to do.
Now, Dan's got this enormous box sitting in the middle of his living room that his kids, you know, got to, like, move around to go from one end of the room to the other.
That's right. It's bigger than a TV.
Now, your new Chihuahua uses that as, like, a warmer when it goes to sleep, right?
It can. It can fit right in there, too, if it wanted to. It's beautiful, man. It, when you get bored of watching the crap on TV, you just look at it. It's got nice little bright colors and a rainbow-colored fan, LED fan swirling, and one on the processor and one on the side of the clear-paneled case. It's amazing. There's never-ending entertainment in that room over there.
Dan, have you actually got off your ass and got a remote for that thing yet or no?
No, I haven't. I have not. I'm waiting for my stimulus check to come.
Everybody's waiting for that.
Mm-hmm. And I found out, I think, after reading through the IRS's website for about the 15th time trying to figure out why it hasn't arrived yet, that they're actually going to mail me a check because we owe them money for taxes this year, so we sent in payment via an electronic debit from our account. Therefore, they can't electronically deposit the payment or the stimulus check into the same account that you make the payment to the for your income tax from. So they have to mail you a check instead of allowing to electronic deposit. Why that is, I have no idea, but I'm looking at the end of May probably. I mean, the end of June, actually, before I get it.
I think I've got mine. It went onto a card, so I've got to look. It's only going to pay a bill off anyway, so it's not like I'm going to enjoy it.
Well, I would like to have it to pay some bills off, too, but...
Although I may take a little bit out of it and buy a new HT, but I'm not totally sure about that yet.
Uh-oh.
A what?
A new ham radio.
Oh.
A little handheld one. But I'm not sure yet. Haven't decided.
Yeah, everyone's trying to decide what they're going to do with their cash.
Well, no, I know what I'm going to do with it, but I haven't decided whether I'm going to do all of it with that yet or not.
Second Apple TV for me.
Yeah. I'm not really going to seriously look at that until my standard def TV in the family room dies. So I have a Panasonic up there that's about 8 years old. So if I get another 2 years out of that thing, I'll be very happy. And then I'll replace it with an HD TV, probably. Nothing too gaudy. The gaudy one is down in the man cave. I've got a 51-inch Hitachi down here. And it's really nice, you know. But upstairs in the family room, I'll get something smaller. You know, 32, 36, something in that range. Yeah, there's a lot of, like, lower-end high-definition TVs that are going around now, like Olivia. There's a few other brands now that are supposedly pretty decent for the money that you pay for them. And I noticed that a lot of the lower-end TVs, they're pushing just 720p.
Yeah, that's an interesting choice. I've done a lot of 1080p, 720p comparison. I've got a Westinghouse 720p LCD. You know, that's full 720 all the way across. And can I tell the difference? Yeah, but I'm also a video guy. Most people, they're not going to tell the difference. And I don't know, 720 is really good for what you can get for the price.
It's a step up, you know. I notice it when watching. The Hitachi does 1080i, and I watch, like, it's great for watching, like, sports on there. Then I go up to the standard definition TV that I have in the family room, and it's noticeable. It looks kind of blurry, you know, compared to what the HD is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but most people don't notice. They don't care, so.
It all depends if you're a purist or not. A lot of people, for example, they'll, you know, say, like, in Myth, they want to run, you know, this super-duper fancy de-interlacer to do stuff. I like to let the TV handle it. It does a pretty good job at it, and it doesn't cost me any, you know, CPU to be able to do that type of stuff. And pretty much the TVs can handle it pretty well. They've got good algorithms, and everything's happening down there at the hardware. So they're really good. You don't have to worry about little funky artifacts. And I've looked at a bunch of the Myth de-interlacers, and quite frankly, I don't like some of them because they introduce their own little artifacts that come in. So I tend to run very minimal de-interlacing. But then again, I'm an imaging guy. It's sort of like what I do for real work is images.
That's fun stuff. We're in a transition time. You know, give it a few years, things will probably settle down a bit more.
What kind of imaging do you do?
I do X-ray microanalysis and imaging with electron microscopes.
Oh, awesome.
A big mouthful there.
How'd you get into that field?
I don't know. It's kind of odd. I have a physics background, one of my very first jobs was on this 70-ton electron microscope. It was a 1 million electron volt microscope up in Albany, New York. And that kind of hooked me on electron microscopes and how they work and what they do, you know, seeing really tiny things. And then sort of branched that out and started pulling X-ray spectra from the electron microscopes due to the electron interaction. So we design up hardware that lets you do normal electron-based imaging from electron microscopes and also do X-ray imaging, where you create X-ray maps from the X-ray signal. And that's where a lot of my embedded stuff works comes from. For example, all the ITX stuff is stuff we have at work that I've taken advantage of, as we say.
What was the coolest? Cool. What's the coolest thing you've ever seen through the X electron microscope?
Single atom.
And
this was probably about 10 years ago when it was really, really hard to do it. And nowadays, they got some really fancy stuff out there. I like the what they call focused ion beam. Microscopes where you can be looking at things that are really, really small and actually go in and be able to etch stuff away. So if you want to go and give a little nick to a integrated circuit trace, you can just go in there and, you know, fix it up or get rid of a blob of gunk that causes the chip to fail. And that's all pretty nifty, how they're doing all that type of stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Very awesome. Cool stuff.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Excellent. Well, Scott, thanks again for coming on. You know, I really appreciate you talking to us about it.
Yeah.
And best of luck with the project. And when I'm ready to go HD on the Myth front end, I'll see if the Apple TV is still a good option. Coming from an Apple hater like myself, that's a big step.
It's just hardware. That's all it is. Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter who makes it.
It all comes from the same crappy factories in Taiwan, right?
Oh, China. They don't come from Taiwan anymore. It's all from China.
It's all China now, right?
But, yeah, you know, post the thing to the Myth mailing list. I'm on there. I'm on a couple other mailing lists, some obscure. But... you know, you just say Apple TV on the Myth mailing list, and that'll catch my filters.
All right. Cool. Take care, Scott. Thanks again.
Thanks a lot, Scott.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Now what, gentlemen?
Who's next?
Alan Toppy. He got his fill of Apple information.
What?
I'm joking. Hold on, let me get Verbal. Verbal wants to pop in for a sec, okay?
Sick of Verbal. All I ever hear about is Verbal this and Verbal that. He's everywhere. Verbal,
he's
verbal,
everywhere.
Verbal.
He's everywhere.
Verbal, Verbal, Verbal. Verbal, 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 Verbal. Ah.
So sorry about crashing your network there, Link.
Yeah.
It doesn't crash on mine. But then, like I said, I haven't used it in a long time.
It didn't crash my network. It stomped it, and it hit it so hard that my phone connection dropped.
Wow.
Because I'm on an IP phone, and it just...
I've never seen that. When I was running that, I'd never realized it was doing that. What'd you have to fix in it? Or just actually send it back up to me? Because
I sent it back. Yeah, you have to add the Mac into the TiVo decode string.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah, I changed it out there to just put your Mac address thing there. So I had mine in there.
Mm-hmm.
But it sort of worked. That other thing I sent you, I can't remember where the hell I got that. But I think what it ends up doing is it gets the listing out of the TiVo for you.
It does. It gets an XML file. I already ran it. Well, I don't know. I bastardized it and took the XML out.
Yeah, I didn't know if that could help you. If you already had something like that or not, but maybe it can help. Maybe it doesn't.
Seems to do the trick.
Verbal wants the EEPC.
Yes, I do.
Is that what you're going to spend your rebate on, Verbal? If you can convince this is Verbal?
No, actually, I haven't really decided yet. I just got Mrs. Verbal a machine, so maybe I'll wait on another machine.
What'd you get her?
I got her a HP, I don't know, I got it from Michelson. I can't even remember the model, but, she didn't need anything like blazingly fast or anything, but she needed a new computer because her computer is got maybe 128 meg of memory and it's 18 years old, it seems like. But she's happy with this new machine now.
Not wrong with that.
So how's the podcast going, man?
It's going okay. I'll be finishing up the third episode tonight. I was going to finish it yesterday, but I was trying to close the door on the computer room because I got three computers in here that are on and it's, making a lot of noise. So I said, okay, I'll just go in another room and close the door. And
that was our first 100 shows.
So I closed my finger in the door and just about cut it off, it seemed. So I said, okay. That's enough for tonight. So I'll be finishing off the third episode.
Hanging by a piece of skin.
Yeah.
Did it hurt a lot?
It hurt like heck.
Did you take pictures?
But it's okay. It was more painful than anything, because I guess you have a lot of nerve endings in your fingertips, so you feel it. Oh, and one more thing. The next time I call in, you guys have to, let me, follow somebody goofy. How can I follow, somebody like Scott Davila, the rocket scientist? What's up with that?
Well, we purposely set that up to intimidate you.
Yeah. Oh, other thing...
Honestly, I had no idea that he was... Well, I know that he was running, Miss TV on an Apple TV box.
Okay. Okay. I guess the other thing I wanted to put out there is I was talking, when I was getting the podcast together, I was talking to Dave Yates. He gave me a lot of pointers, and one of them was about creating the RSS feeds. So I was asking him, okay, what type of program do you use? And so he told me ListGarden. So I tried it out. And at first, I didn't want to read the instructions, right, because it was screens and screens of information. So I tried to do it without it, and it failed horribly. And then I said, okay, let me take my time. I'm going to read the instructions and everything. And it worked. But the only thing that it doesn't have is it doesn't have a feature that lets you calculate the running time of your AUG files or MP3 files. So I says, hey, that would be a nice thing to write in Python or something else. I think ListGarden is actually in Perl, but I like Python. So I says, hey, maybe I could write a feed creator. So if anyone else is interested in working on this project, hey, just send me some email, and maybe we can get this going.
I think that's a great idea. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Well, the thing is, I really don't know a lot about RSS feeds. I mean, I thought they were really simple because, you figure, hey, it's just an XML file, but I don't know. It's just something I have to learn a little bit more about. And just creating a feed creator, I need a project to work on, like when I'm like learning something, like learning a language or something. So I thought that would be an interesting project to work on. So, and handy too.
I could see where that might come in handy.
So
on your podcast, Verbal, what are you doing, Linux trivia?
No, it's not. It's just general trivia, because I figured with Linux trivia, I don't really know that much Linux trivia, so it's just general trivia. So I figure I'll never run out of trivia questions.
Yeah, I was going to say, I haven't heard any Linux trivia on there yet. Wait, the last one there was, wasn't there?
Yes.
What was it? Yes. That was what was the question?
Two editors that
come
with
a
Linux distribution.
I remember. Yeah. We're not going to give it away.
Yeah, let people figure it out on their own.
I figure I'll alternate between a easy question and a hard question, so I threw the easy one in there. Yeah, that's keeping me pretty busy, so... You know, staying up late at night, closing my fingers indoors, and losing lots of sleep. But it's fun. I like it.
I liked your first one. I liked them both. They were really good. I liked the question on your first one. Question about The Office. That was...
Oh, yeah.
That was fun stuff.
I was surprised that... more people didn't know that.
Maybe just nobody listened.
That is a possibility.
That could be it.
You're tough, Dan.
No, I know people.
It's because no one listens to your stuff. That's why.
Well, it's funny. I think more people listen. Looking at the server logs, more people listen than actually, you know, writing in to answer the trivia question. So I don't know what that's about, but hey.
But you're giving away hardware, so.
Well, it depends. It depends. I can give away whatever Mrs. Verbal says I can give away.
There you go.
I was going to say, you're going to run out of prizes pretty quickly.
I have lots of books, and I really need to update my collection, so I think that's...
anything you want to get rid of, you'll put up for the contest.
Well, some of them I can get rid of, but you know, some of them will be like current books or whatever. But I don't know. It's just something, you know, interesting to do, so who knows? I think Dave Yates is creating an army of zombie podcasters to do his bidding.
His evil bidding.
I'm surprised he's not in IRC tonight.
He's being a jerk.
Who knows?
You know, he's been neglecting everything the past couple of weeks.
I think so. He went on vacation, and then he says, well, I'll take a vacation from podcasting. I'm checking every day, and I started to call him or email him because I'm thinking, what happened to Dave? I haven't heard from him.
Well, Dan left him a voicemail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I heard that. I heard that on the, he played that on the cast this morning. So that was cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, I tried calling, but he just never calls back.
He never picks up or calls
it. It hurts.
So Pat, didn't you say you were interested in Python programming?
Yeah, I've been playing around a little bit. I haven't gotten into it as much as I'd like to, but a little bit here and there.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I like it. I've been using it for like maybe at least 4 years, and actually found a library that works with AUG files, so maybe I can get that one part done where it calculates the running time of an AUG file and then work on the MP3 file. So, I don't know. I just think it's going to be a fun project.
Python has extensions into everything.
Yes, that's the cool thing about it. And if you can't find them, hey, you write your own.
Yep, it's good stuff, but it's becoming very popular. Google's using Python like crazy. They went and they hired a bunch of the top Python people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's one language I need to get into, Python.
It's a good language. Python is really good, man. It's definitely like a good language to learn, even for like someone learning programming for the first time, because there's a lot of good concepts that are in there. It is object-oriented, and you could do quite a bit with it.
Oh, yeah. I think that was the one of the things that I liked about it, that it was object-oriented. I think a lot of people who are really into Python, when they look at things like PHP, they kind of, you know, turn their nose up at it. But PHP, I haven't really done a lot of PHP lately, but PHP is object-oriented, but I don't know, you know, a lot of it that you see doesn't really make use of the object-oriented aspects. So I guess that's why people tend to, you know, not like it as much.
What are you using to code with it? Just in a VI or Emacs or something? Or
VI.
Are you using an IDE?
VI.
Yeah.
I might take a look at Emacs. And hopefully I won't get the Emacs hand cramp claw thing. I guess you have to use a lot of control keys or whatever, but I don't know. I've been using VI for a while, so it's time to take a look at something new or different.
There's a nice Python plugin in Eclipse. It's called PyDev. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah? And what is that?
Well, Eclipse is this whole framework, and you could use it as an IDE, you know, the whole integrated development environment.
Right.
It's mostly Java, but there are plugins for all different languages.
Okay.
And the Python one's called PyDev, and it's pretty good. I've used it before.
Okay. I'll have to take a look at that. All right. Well, if, I don't know, I think I'm going to get off of this thing and let somebody else scream at you guys. So,
all righty. Well, best of luck with the podcast.
Hey, thanks. And like I said, if anybody out there is interested, just shoot me some email, and we'll see what we can do about this feed creator.
Cool. All right, Verbal. Take care.
I think that's a great job. Great thing.
Okay. Take it easy.
Thank you, Verbal.
Take it easy. Jay Verbal.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. I've got E.E. Gorkon up next.
Oh.
E.E. Gorkon.
Well, hold on.
E.E. Gorkon.
E.E. Gorkon.
He's here.
No, he's not. Yeah.
We've all quieted up tonight.
You're what?
We've all quieted up tonight.
I'm waiting for all the guests to be finished, and then I'm going to talk. I'm going to take the stand. Me!
Look at the echo that goes on in the background there.
Me! Who's echoing? What is that echo from? Me!
It's probably through the handset of my phone.
I'm going to get you a mic and headsets again.
I just got to have time to hook it up, you know, get off my ass.
It obviously would be easier than holding the headset up to your ear the entire 2 hours.
Probably, yeah.
Looks like you put like a big rubber band around your ears or something, yeah. Hold the phone up that way.
Oh, yeah, that would be comfortable, yeah.
It'd be a good picture, if nothing else. Hands free. Dan is stuck in Lowrider today.
Yep. Nothing like building your own Slackware distribution from the ground up. I love it.
You love it.
I'm counting.
Yeah, I didn't fire up my Slack box tonight.
I'm going to look at KDE. Turn down your stereo. Oh my God!
And turn down your head, your mic too.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's up, man?
Not much. Just got my E sitting next to your. I got like, I call my E PC mini me so much smaller than my Lenovo T60. I just heard myself on the stream.
That's why you should
turn off your radio. That's why.
Yeah, kill the stream, man.
Turn off the radio. My stream running in XMMS on top of my E. Considering I can't run XMMS on Hardy. Because I'm lazy, because I won't compile it.
You don't have to. There's a deb package.
Yeah, there is a package.
Oh, on your website?
No, it's, I'll put a link in the show notes, but yeah, I was going through, I think it was Ken who was telling me, sent me some email and pointing me in the right direction. I actually found a dev package that just, installed right on there, so.
Let's see if I can find it. I'll have to install that, because I've got, for right now, I've been using Audacious, Jack. To pipe music into my recording, and actually for quite a while, like last week, I was having some issues with it, and I know Dan was kind of making fun of me a little bit, but we found a solution this week, and it has to do with the Tickless kernel. I had to put no HZ equal off into the grub line. And then once I did that, I was able to run Jack with no problems, no X runs, and very low latencies. On a USB sound card, no less. So that's what I've been doing this week. That, mucking with Jack, and then mucking around with my EPC, which right now I'm still keeping Xandros on it. Oh, and this goes out to my friend Gene from work, whose husband listens to the Linux Link Tech Show. Woo-hoo. I'm sorry if I'm keeping you up. I'm serious. This is the funniest thing at work. She said, I was hearing your voice. Were you on the Linux Link Tech Show? I'm like, why, yes, I was.
Say it proud, so, man. Say it proud.
Joel is famous.
Hey, of course I am.
Wait, is this the woman that we met at the Ohio Linux Fest last year?
No. She, that woman, actually, this is really cool. Her name is, I think she goes by Deb Dyer now. She just recently, unfortunately, divorced.
Oh, there's your chance there, Dorkon. Woo, woo, woo.
No way, man. I can't afford another woman.
With all that polygamy in the news, right? You know.
Yeah, really.
It's okay these days. Polygamy's the way to go.
But now, what she started there, where I work at, the college I work at here, she has started a chapter of ThinkGeek at the college. So now you don't have. Eventually, I need to, or not ThinkGeek, FreeGeek. I'm sorry, Free Geek. That's where you go and help assemble Linux computers to give to the, like, the poor folks, you know. Not to mention the fact you can earn one yourself, too, by helping them build new computers.
Pretty cool. That's a very cool project, by the way.
Yeah, and I'm going to actually have to get involved in it since I do work there and I'm in the IT department there. So, and currently messing around with that. Actually, hopefully, if all goes well, they're actually going to be ordering another P-Series box just for the sysadmins to play with. Seriously. Which I thought, man, that's cool. I did not imagine I could get that pulled off. But I asked for it, and they're going to probably give it to me. But it's got to pass Board Buster and all that, so. But, I laid out the justifications, and So one of the first things that I do when I get that box is I'm installing a SUSE, probably SUSE on it, I think. In a
Why?
Why? Because it's one of the few PPC-based distributions out there, man. Because I got a P, because it's a P series. It's a power.
Why SUSE? Why not like Debian?
Debian. Or...
Well, I could. You got a point. I could do that, but.
Damn right, I got a point, yo.
Yeah. Well, actually, the reason is that I can get SLES for and support for SLES for free. So plus IBM fully supports SLES on the P series. So I can actually call IBM support and actually get help if I have trouble getting SLES up on the box, which I shouldn't have trouble. It should be pretty simple to do. In fact, it might even be easier than AIX in some respects. But especially updating it. Like earlier this week at work, we actually updated applied the AIX equivalent of a service pack, which is either called a technology level or a maintenance level. And I basically had to back up the box, the root VG of the box, and then apply all the patches. And it's one of those things that on AIX, you know, usually it goes pretty well, and actually it really went well, but occasionally some things could happen, like you can have the wrong firmware loaded, and it doesn't like it. It's real touchy. AIX can be real touchy like that. Usually, it's pretty good though. For a closed OS, but as closed as it is, and while I mean, a lot of the good things that Linux is getting now came from that. You know, like LVM. What else? Something else came from it. I can't remember what offhand. But, I mean, IBM's given a lot of the stuff that makes AIX great now to the Linux community, which I think is really awesome. So, but
it is good stuff,
on the
isn't
Edo,
it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, AIX has actually, since 5.2 or 5.3, you can actually use RPMs. You can install RPMs with the AIX MIDI menuing, or their gen install commands, that's what you use to install the normal AIX packages. But all I have to do if I want to install a certain application, say it's a simple one that wouldn't get me into RPM hell, I can basically just use the RPM commands and install the package on AIX with no problems. So, I mean, AIX is so Linux-like, it ain't funny. Although I'm having trouble getting my current boss to believe that. So, but, Dan, do you want an EPC 900 now?
No, I'm happy with what I have. I don't need to.
I'm gonna say too
crazy.
I could have waited, but history shows that if I have the spousal approval and the money, and I wait, the money usually leaves. If you know what I mean.
I hear what you're saying.
Got to take a chance when it comes up, you know.
Yeah, so I decided, and I called up Micro Center and asked them if they had it in stock, and they did, and I went right up there and I caught it. So, I mean, and it kind of helped a little bit, too, that like earlier that week, Micro Center sent me a coupon in the mail for a free 2-gig SD card.
Oh, cool.
So did you order from Micro Center?
Yeah. Well, we have actually Micro Center's based here in Columbus. I think the Winbook is actually made not too far from here that they sell. And plus they're selling, but there's some of the things they're starting to do, they're starting to sell refurbs really, really cheaply too. So if you have a Micro Center in your area, check that out. They have a lot of decent prices on machines that, you know, they're not brand new machines, but they're a refurb. And they make perfect Linux boxes. So, but, Yeah, I looked at a lot of the machines while I was there too, and I almost bit on another laptop because that's what I think somebody else brought up the point that the EPC is getting expensive with the new 900 is what, 550 now, I think. And I almost did. See, I got the 8 gig version of the E, and while I was standing there contemplating my purchase, I looked at, there's a laptop, like a full laptop, it was like a 15-inch, I think it was an Acer, you know, cheap Japanese slave labor laptop, you know, or Chinese slave labor, I mean, and it was like $397, and I almost decided to get that. I was that close. But then I thought, well, I don't know what kind of hardware is in it. I didn't do any research on it, so I'm going to go with what I originally came in there to get. And not to mention the fact, I love the fact that I can carry the E and my normal laptop together in the same bag. And it's no worse. I mean, the E is so light, I don't even notice it in my backpack.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I even actually got people at work interested in it, too, that aren't normal Linux users. So.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, what's funny is I took it to church Sunday because I've been doing our church podcast on graceministries.org. We put the weekly sermon out on the web. And I took it in there so that I can copy. Basically, what I had been doing, I've been just grabbing the thumb drive off the mixing board and then bringing that home and mixing it together, compressing it and putting it, you know, basically sending it out to the web. And that day I just took my E, plugged the thumb drive in, and usually I had to return the thumb drive. I had to get it there before Sunday morning. And I just took the E with me. I ran up to the sound booth, plugged it into my E, copied the file over, and gave the guy the thumb drive back. I didn't have to worry about picking it up or anything. That's like one real handy use that I came up with for it. And while I'm standing there on the way out talking to one of my good friends that go to church there, his son came up, his eyes dropped out of his skull and said, "That's a computer?" He just couldn't believe how small the thing was. And I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's, you know, it's a awesome machine. Asus has done a bang-up job. I really think it's really great that they're starting to expand the line. Although I'd like to see maybe a replacement for the 701s and stuff, because all these new machines they seem to be coming out are missing the lower price points, like the $299 and the $399 model.
But they're coming with XP installed, and that's a good thing, right?
Some of them are. Some of them are, some of them aren't. You can still get Linux on them. In fact, that's the kind of cool thing was, is the only ones that Microcenter actually had in there at that time were Linux ones. So,
well, I think it's important that they sell. I think it's really important that they come with XP because that's what the consumers really want. I mean, obviously, you can tell by they're selling out hand over fist with the XPs, unlike the Zandros ones, which are just laying on the shelves. Isn't that right?
Supposedly.
No,
supposedly,
it's not right.
Yeah.
No, I think what?
It's not, because I just never seen a Windows one stocked.
That one, somebody had posted from buy.com had them listed, and there was a listing under the Zandros one, which was, you know, surprisingly selling for, what, $50 more or something like that? And it said, you know, buy.com said, you know, order soon or almost out of stock.
Well, and you know, I really think it's kind of cool that the Linux version of the EPC 900 has more flash RAM than flash drive than the Windows version. The Windows version only has 14 gigs, and the Linux version has 20 gigs. of Flash, so. But to be honest, you know, I have 8, and I'm happy with it. It does everything I needed to do. I put XChat on it. I've got XMMS. I've got Thunderbird. So it's great browsing machine. I love playing around with UC View. Somebody in, I'll have to send it to you, Dan. Somebody found a link. Maybe you already know about it, but there is a way that you can actually take the webcam on the E and send the video directly to YouTube. I mean, you basically your webcam gets a permit. You give permission for the webcam to interact with the Flash program that runs on YouTube, and then you can basically you record the video right to YouTube at that point. You don't actually have to actually do any
re-encode it or anything.
Yep, it just goes right there. So I have to try. He emailed it to me. I'll have to email it to you. It was Alan Hong who works with me over in GearDiary.com, and he has an E also, and so I'll have to send that to you.
And that's working under Linux, right?
Yes, yes. It's actually a tarball.
Huh. I would love to see that.
Yep, I'll definitely send that to you. I mean it. Asus did a bang up job, and I think it's great running Linux. And the funniest thing was, you know, when I showed this, you know, I was carrying the box. One of the funny things was I carrying the box out of the building. My wife saw it under my arm. She said, "I thought you bought a computer." I said, "Yeah, I did. It's been here." I opened it up. She's like, "You spent $500 on that?" I said, "Yeah." And my wife's like, "I wouldn't like it. It's too small."
It's a thing of beauty, man. It's just wonderful.
I love it. I mean, I can do it. I can compute anywhere. I mean, it's like one of those things. You can take this thing a lot of places where you just wouldn't take your laptop.
The crapper.
Like I'm going camping next weekend, or next week actually. It's like a church camp. It's associated with my son's school, so I'm going with him, and I'm gonna have this baby stuffed in my backpack somewhere, so that you know once everybody's asleep, I can watch some video. But I mean, I've taken this, you know, pretty much anywhere. I drove my wife nuts too. She's like, "Would you put that thing away?"
It's very addicting. It is very addicting.
Oh, it is, isn't it?
Just whip it out and use it anywhere.
I sit there working on the. I was working on the church audio file at dinner at a restaurant, and she's like, "Would you put that thing away?" I'm like, "Okay, I'll shut it off."
It is.
I put Audacity on it too.
It actually runs Audacity fairly well.
Yeah, the one thing I had to do is I had to change the temporary directory from the normal, you know, /temp location to the SD card. It probably would have been okay in the standard /temp if I was just making a short recording or something.
Yeah, you have to be.
But otherwise, editing a big audio file from church, you know, it was probably about 45 minutes long, and in fact, I edited the whole file on the E.
You know,
believe it or not,
Joel, I get the impression that you do a lot with your church.
I do.
I just wanted to make sure. I kind of thought maybe because you dropped it about 16 times that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to presume. Now, have you rid yourself of the TempFS on there yet? Or are you planning on doing that?
I mean the Union?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
File system? Or?
Union file system.
Yeah, not yet. I'm getting ready to. because right now I feel a little bit limited by that myself.
Now you're
even
on
with the 8 gig.
You have the 8 gig flash. So you have an 8G, right?
Right.
So how much space do you have free on it?
Let me bring up a console here.
So I would figure you probably have about, what, 4 or 5 gigs of space that's on the one partition? For the people who don't know what I'm talking about and who didn't pay attention to the show a couple episodes ago, the way that the EEPC actually, the ASUS installed the operating system on there and retained a kind of a pseudo system restore, is it uses Union File System, so you actually have, I believe it is two partitions that it's configured for. One is the default installation of the ASUS Zandros, which on top of that is the Union File is your user partition. I think the default installation is on a Union FS, and what that actually does in a sense is there's a way for you to restore the factory settings on there. There's a grub
Correct.
Option. So if you actually do that, what it does is it just erases the user file system and sets it back. So what happens is when you actually install software or use it, it goes on to the user partition. And let's say you were going to upgrade, I don't know, what comes on there, Firefox or OpenOffice, actually. There's
right.
a good example. So you go to
OpenOffice.
Yeah, you go to upgrade OpenOffice, and what actually happens is it installs the new OpenOffice over top of the old, and it doesn't release that free space, so to speak. It installs it into the user partition, so it sits on top of the Union File System. So the space that the original install took up is still there because it's on the Union File System, and you just, in a sense, doubled the space that OpenOffice takes, or those
right.
files for OpenOffice. So if you actually upgrade, I think it was Adobe's PDF, Acrobat Reader.
The 8.
Yeah, it's like 100 meg download, so it already is using 100 plus megs, and because the package installs itself fully again, it doubles the space that it takes. So your actual disk space usage on the 4G, essentially after those first couple of updates that came out, doubled in size. Your disk usage doubled
right.
in size easily. So that's why I wiped out my Union FS, and I freed up all that space. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, right now it says I have about 3 gig available and uses 1.386.
Yeah, you probably get a nice chunk of that back.
Yeah. I'll probably will, but I've been kind of waiting for one thing is I'm like at the end of the month, I'm going to order up a 16 gig SDHC. I think it's about $74 up on Amazon right now with a USB reader. But I'm going to order that, and then the next thing I'm going to probably do is I'm probably going to get an external DVD burner, just because it'd be nice to have around the house, but I can definitely use that with this E. Actually, I'd be kind of interested if it would let you watch DVDs on it. Be kind of pointless, but... then I think I'm going to probably at some point just go straight to Ubuntu, because one of the other problems, and I don't know why ASUS did this, but the E can have up to 2 gig of RAM. However, the default kernel only looks at and sees 1 gig.
Yeah, that kind of stinks.
Yeah, I mean, well... And unless you want to compile a kernel, which, God, it would probably take forever on the E. What surprises me is nobody has Debs with a modified kernel out there for that. You know, because if they had that, I'd go buy that stick of 2 gig RAM to tomorrow.
I thought that was up on EEE user.
Hmm?
I thought that was up on EEE user.
It might be. Well, I saw instructions for compiling the kernel, which, you know, it's not that different than normal kernel compilation. But no, I don't think anybody has a pre-compiled deb out there to upgrade the kernel on, which would be nice. You know, an apt repository for it, you know, called like Linux 2Gig or something, you know.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
See,
I think what I'm probably going to end up doing is I'm thinking I'm going to install Ubuntu on it before too much longer.
The thing that is, and you know, I would love to hear how Ubuntu runs for you. I'll tell you what, I have mixed feelings about the Asus Zandros. I think, first off, they did a fantastic job with it. You know, they tailored it, and it works perfectly with the machine. For novices, the simple interface is wonderful. It's approachable. It's usable. It's just all around really good. For people who want to tinker with it, it has enough flexibility. But you get to that point where the flexibility is good, but some of the capabilities of Zandros are a little stale compared to what you can do with Ubuntu or Debian, so to speak. You know, something like getting what's the new cheese, which comes with, you know, latest Hardy. You know, getting cheese to run on this, I could see being very difficult. But on the flip side, I mean, the wireless manager they have on there is like, wow, that is just amazing.
Well, what amazes me, though, is in easy mode, you have to re-enter, if you have a WAP or a WPA, you have to re-enter your key every single frickin' time. But once you switch over to advanced mode, you know, it's not a problem.
Really? I didn't notice
and,
that.
There's a website, Gotta Be Mobile, mostly Windows-centric, obviously, but Warner Crocker's wife, actually, she has an E, and she loves it, and that was actually her, I mean, she's obviously using easy mode all the time, and she did not like the fact that she had to enter in the password every time. And that's one thing. I kept it in normal mode for, I don't know, probably about 8 hours. Not very long. I mean, I got tired of it quick. I wanted to get to something normal, you know. What else I thought was weird. Oh, the clock was military time. Out of the box, and I think even in easy mode it was still military time, if I remember right.
As it should be. We should all be using military
time.
Yeah,
I guess.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I don't like military time. I'm not in the military. So, but that's okay. EE user to the rescue. They had the instructions and I changed that. Plus, they had the big freaking launch button. You know, it's like the big ass clock, you know, the big launch button actually caused you to all the stuff on your taskbar that you did, your taskbar would scroll. And user.com has instructions on how to resize the PNGs for that button, and I did that, and now I have a little bit more screen real estate on that. And I've been playing around too with some of the there's a couple Firefox plugins, Tiny Menu I think it is, but basically it takes all the file edit, all that stuff, and puts it into just one entry. So in the next, my next step is to try and figure out how to move that down to the bar with the buttons and stuff, the back and forward buttons. And then I can get rid of one line and get one more line of space on the screen. But I'm not that's not really a big deal, because 90% of the time what I do is I hit F11 and I go in full screen mode.
Wait, and, what are you trying to get rid of?
In Firefox,
yeah,
there's a. Let me look at the. I want to see what plugin I'm using.
You guys are finishing up, Joel, I'm going to go out and get Vulcan ready. We got one more person coming in, so.
All right.
Okay.
Let me jump off.
Tiny menu.
Oh, tiny menu.
Yeah, tiny menu. I've got tiny menu loaded, and then I want to move it down to the menu down to the navigation bar and get rid of that bar.
Oh, okay.
And get another 10 or 20 pixels. A space.
Make me happy.
So it's not a bit. Like I said, it's not a big deal. Now I just hit F11 like normal. I just kind of automatically hit it when I'm in a heavy browsing mood, and then I get a full screen browse. And I don't check got my podcast page up, and it don't scroll now anyway. So I mean, it's full screen, the horizontal scroll anyway.
I hear what you're saying.
Of course, there's the vertical scroll. So. But I use full screen mode a lot more on the E than anywhere else, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you, Joel, that's not related to the Triple E PC. OLF this year coming up. I've heard that the hotel is all booked up.
Really?
And I also read that they've reserved a block of rooms again. I'm wondering if those rooms are all booked up, too. Or there's some kind of special code that needs to be used.
Alrighty.
Look into that for us, Joel. We need you, baby.
Yeah, I'll take a peep. Well, they got Drurian group rate available as of May 14th.
Okay.
The jury reservation, select your arrival and departure dates. I recall the group name is Ohio Linux Fest. They just put it up there today, actually.
What's this cozy in?
Durian.
Never again.
Oh, come on. You gotta like the cozy.
No.
It was cozy, man. Right in front of the Waffle House, man. Could be better.
And the gas station with the booze.
Sorry.
I'm spending extra money.
But hey, all gas stations have booze here in Ohio.
That's true.
Same freaking Pennsylvania.
Not too many
Isn't
states,
that cool, man?
Not too many states have that, by the way.
Yeah, Virginia, you can go buy beer at the gas station, can't you, Dan?
Yeah, of course.
Can in New York, too.
Yeah. Who's in there?
We're just weird.
Yeah. Well, I know. I lived in Pennsylvania for a long time. A long time ago. 149 days until Ohio Linux Fest.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to it, man.
We also got Vulcan Rider jumped in. Vulcan Rider, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Hey, guys. Ooh. How you doing?
How's it going?
Hey.
Good.
How you doing?
Link, you sound like you're asleep.
Working on it.
Yeah. Not much longer for me, too.
Yep.
Yes. Time for bed, Alan.
Alan, you never say anything, so.
Yeah. Every once in a while I do.
Okay. Only pre and post show, right?
Just what it usually ends up to be, it seems.
Yep.
And the times when Dan has to step away to beat his kids, then Alan starts talking.
Yeah,
but even then I try not to.
Yeah, I'm working on this Debian vulnerability on my network.
SSH, SSL.
SSH, SSL, and then I got to do the same thing at work, so...
That's just an app getaway, man.
They had a patch for the E.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Their updates were on Ubuntu already.
They're on Debian, too.
It's pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Now here's the vulnerability, here's the patch.
Pretty refreshing, huh? Nice and quick.
Wait, is that Is that only on Debian-based systems that they found the vulnerability, or is that in just SSH itself?
Yeah.
So, all right, that's what
no,
I thought.
No, it's Debian-based because they made a patch back in June of 2006, I think. And it wound up being a bad, you know, this patch was bad. It made the random number generator predictable.
How predictable was it, though?
Say again?
How predictable was it, though? I mean, how easy is it to take advantage of that exploit or that bug?
Probably not something that people are going to be actively looking for. Although they have a blacklist that gets installed with the latest SSH, and there seem to be a number of my keys that are in this blacklist.
Uh-oh.
So, and I've done it on two machines so far.
I'm sure my keys wouldn't be on there.
Try it.
I'll have to look at
that. Oh, yeah,
you
run, you run Windows, so.
X-Windows, as some people like to call it. No, I have two Ubuntu systems and another Debian system I'm going to have to look at. I upgraded my Ubuntu systems.
I would check Ubuntu, and I would also check your EEE.
Yeah, I
just did.
And?
And what did it say?
The only thing I found was the ASUS categories package that needed an update.
It just laughed at you, didn't it?
No SSL or OpenSSH.
Yeah.
Depending on how long ago they got it, I don't know how far behind the these guys are with doing their, you know, grabbing, like Ubuntu grabs SID every 6 months.
It's further behind than that, I guarantee you that.
Oh yeah, you remember when they shipped to EEE, there was a well documented Samba vulnerability that had been in existence and patched for some time that still existed on the Xandros version on the EEE, and it took them about 2 weeks, I think, after I got mine before I saw the patch for it come into play. So they're not on the same upkeep as Ubuntu or Debian. In fact,
sounds like Apple.
Yeah, in fact, I think they were very, very, very motivated to get a patch out because so many people made a stink about it.
Yeah. And Xandros was pretty well unknown, but they had pretty well faded into obscurity until the EEE came out. So, not that I'm one of the cool kids who has one, but, you know.
You can dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like KDE 3.4.2, man. That's really old, isn't it?
Ooh. 3.4.2, that's like 2 years old, isn't it?
That's what it is on the my E. That's what I'm using anyway. I didn't switch to Fluxbox yet.
Yeah, it is a little old. I know like the version of Lightfria on there is old enough that the newer version on Hardy says it had to upgrade the database. For how it stores the feeds, which made it impossible.
Are they still using SSH1 on it?
No, there's actually SSH2 on there. It's not that old. It's not that old. Yeah, the same space they use SSH1.
Hey, at least you can install XMMS on it, unlike Hardy.
But that has nothing to do with security.
No, it doesn't. Who gives a shit?
I do because Vulcanrider does a fantastic show. Do you listen to Armored Penguin, Joel?
No, not yet.
Well, you have to. In fact, when's the next episode of Armored Penguin coming out?
If I can keep water out of my basement this week.
And that'll be episode number 3, right?
1. Don't make it any worse than it is.
I
know, I'm way behind.
It'll be episode. It's the second episode. You know what? This is a great show, man. We need more.
I know.
Absolutely.
In fact, thanks to the two two Debian vulnerabilities, I have to update my show notes and work that into the content.
You know what your one mistake was? This is your one mistake on the show.
Not inviting you on to show one?
No, that would have been that wouldn't have been a mistake.
That's a really
good idea. Not doing that. Your one mistake is you spent so much time putting it together and making the sound quality just wonderful. You came out of the gate with a well-produced, awesome-sounding show. I just don't.
And now I got to keep up with it.
You set the bar way too high.
I went out and bought a pop shield for the next one.
I don't know how you're going to keep it up, man. Most people start off bad and then they get a whole lot better. Like we started off in a shitter and we are like just getting to the top of the bowl.
Yeah,
we're floating around the top of the bowl. You had to come out in the other room. Okay, you're on the recliner. So
No, I'm nowhere near Brandon Jasper. He is a serious audiophile.
I have no idea who Brandon Jasper is. Maybe I
Linux Resonance.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot his name was Brandon Jasper.
Ex Navy sonarman. So, you know, his ears are fine tuned.
Oh, he's insane.
Downloading Armored Penguin right now.
That's right, Joel.
Cool. It's only about 15 minutes the first one is, but this one's going to be more in depth because I'm going to do a reasonably secure Debian build or Ubuntu build.
Cool.
And I may do a screencast with it, but I'm going to pull out all the stops. I'm going to do an encrypted file system, mounting your slash boot on a thumb drive, the whole nine.
Sweet.
So, I'm looking forward to doing it. It's just finding time. Between all the new hardware, the new job, in fact, I'm getting ready to jet off on a business trip next weekend. Not this coming weekend, but the weekend after.
Where are we going?
And Geneva.
Cool.
Wow.
And
oh my
not
God.
The one in New York either.
Oh.
Google.
What about Ohio? Geneva, Ohio? No.
Nope. No, this one requires a passport.
Are you going to a convention? The Geneva convention?
Oh. No, no. I've been hearing that joke all week.
Here I thought I was being unique. I suck. Well, that's awesome. Lucky you.
Pat, did you have a question?
I was just going to ask you about your podcast.
Yeah, it's been on hold, mainly because I upgraded my recording station and I've been having issues getting the recording to work on the new sound card.
What kind of sound card did you get?
It's one on the motherboard. It is a... If I can type... that's not it. Let me see, where is it?
And it doesn't work out of the box? That's not right.
It works out of the box. I can get playback on it. I just can't get... it's a Realtek RTL 8111.
Uh-oh, Realtek.
Yeah. What I'm probably going to wind up doing is sticking my old SB Live back in there on the PCI bus.
You might be better off.
I didn't have space for it because this board only has three PCI slots, and I just now upgraded to a SATA drive, 750 gig SATA drive, and so now I've freed up a slot, so I'm going to stick the Sound Blaster back in there. Plus, I like the live.
Those are nice cards, man.
Yeah, they are. This thing's 10 years old.
Oh, no. I got one in this other desktop that I got in here. I love it.
Yeah, they're great. And they're bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with the Realtek, so... But it does play back pretty nicely.
Realtek is notoriously bad for their wireless cards.
Yeah, wasn't that the one that Kelly Penguin Girl was having issues with?
I don't know.
Wait, which? Realtek?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever happened to them? They just, like, died. Dropped off the face
Realtek?
Of the
Earth. Yeah.
No.
Because I just got this board three weeks ago.
Oh, Jack Attack. They
haven't done a show since
October, I think.
No, they did one fairly recently, but they're, like, gutting their house because it was built in, like, the 1890s or something.
I don't think they did an episode since, like, October.
I just got one. It just came down on...
October 16th.
Maybe.
Show 59.
Yeah. That was
going
October?
No, that was October.
But going on 7 months, man.
Well, like I said, they're gutting their house because it was built in, you know... prehistoric times, so they had to redo all the electrical and so forth.
I don't know, man. It might be time to retire them. I don't know. 7 months. I don't know.
Let me see. I'm going to go to their website. I probably don't even have it. Yeah, episode 59, October 16th, 2007. That's a shame.
Yep. 7 months ago.
I might have to. Might have to kill him.
Might have to send him a message on Facebook, huh?
I gotta log into Facebook.
They're on now. He's on it all the time.
Apparently. Yeah, because I always get an email that said, John has invited you to a cockfight.
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't go on Facebook anymore. I'm scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never done Facebook.
It's like the Twittering, man. The Twitter people, they do that all the time. They don't have time for anything else.
I don't understand.
That's exactly what I came up with. I have a Twitter account. I haven't even looked at it in probably a month.
I won't touch that with a freaking 10-foot pole, man.
I don't get the appeal of that. I mean, really? Do you really need to know where... Is Link that important that you need to know what he's doing at every moment of the day?
No.
I don't do that. I just...
Absolutely,
post, like,
man.
If I find a cool Link...
I was gonna say, yeah, he's really important.
I thought the world revolved around Link, Dan.
Yeah, I'm mistaken.
Dan
doesn't
need Facebook to keep up with me because he just IMs me periodically.
Well, I just keep watching. I get
ploink. Hey, baby, how you doing?
Ploink.
What color underwear do you have on? You know, stuff like that.
And then after lunch, what color is it now?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, you guys on there all the time. You don't talk to me or anything.
Talk to who?
So I see you guys on there all the time. You don't talk to me or nothing.
I don't have your IM address.
Dude, I never see you on IM.
He's never on there.
He must have our AIM addresses, but doesn't give his out or something.
I don't know. How do you? Yeah, I've never. You know what? I think I've seen you pop up once.
The weird thing is it's technically it's blocked in my company, but if you go in through Google, like go in through Google Mail, and you leave it up running through there, it actually gets through.
Yeah, the Twitter through the Twitter IM, the Google IM.
Yeah.
You IM him, he just doesn't answer.
I'll pop on tomorrow morning and let you guys fight about me.
It'd be Alan. Oh, look at the big boy.
Speaking of which, Alan, whatever happened to those motorcycle pics you were going to send me a year and a half ago?
I was going to say, it was a year and a half ago, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
Alan blows off
the
number.
Actually, the bike
that
is actually...
That was the same time as his last blog post.
I've missed this quarter, haven't I? No, actually, the
I don't know if you missed the last three quarters.
No, I think I got one in last quarter at least. Oh, at least one line on it. Now, the Nighthawk is coming back up to the house this weekend, provided it doesn't fall off the back of my truck the way my father drives. But It's coming back up this weekend.
Alan, you know Harleys are the only thing supposed to ride on the back of a truck.
Well, it has to come up on the back of the truck because I don't have plates on it right now.
Oh, okay.
And I don't feel like taking the plates off of the Goldwing just to drive it up here. Because my luck is I will get caught.
Yeah.
On it, but I gotta get it finished, get it cleaned up. On it, it's got a new battery. I gotta put in it this weekend. On it, and then I'm putting a for sale sign on it.
Well, shoot me pictures first.
Okay.
How much you selling for, Al?
I don't know yet. I wanna get like $2,000 for it.
What year is it?
$100 in a reach around.
91. Low mileage though.
That's what they all say. She's got low mileage.
But that's not necessarily a good thing on a bike. I've been fighting low mileage on my Vulcan since I've owned it.
Ooh. Vulcans are an awesome motorcycle.
Yeah, they are.
It's one of the ones I
have. You think a lot of gas, though, don't you, Alan?
Excuse me?
Alan, you save a lot of gas when you ride your bike to work, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's
not on the Goldwing.
The Goldwing gets about 45.
Really?
It's getting about 45.
Well, that's not bad.
Japanese engine, man.
Yeah.
Versus
my Vulcan gets between 50 and 60.
Yeah, the Nighthawk, I don't remember what it gets on it. It really needed a good tune-up is what it needs, but I think I was getting close to 50 on that one, though.
Yeah, you could probably kick it just over that with a tune-up.
Yeah. But shoot me an email so I make sure I got yours.
Okay, or just hit my website.
Okay. And that would be? Because my brain is dead.
ArmoredPenguin.net.
Okay, my brain is dead here.
It's my bedtime.
Well, no, I knew who you were. I just couldn't remember anything. I'm dumb. Here we go. Let me reopen my browser.
It's Vulcan Rider with no E at ArmoredPenguin.net.
Okay. Very easy.
Pretty much a wrap for this show, right, guys? Do we have, like, music to play out on this show?
Yes.
Yes, we do.
Let me guess. Warp 11.
No.
Not
I don't know.
Cell Dweller, almost. Close.
Turbo Core.
Cell Dweller.
We got to get Kiki back on the show, man.
Those are good pictures of it, by the way.
Oh, yes.
I didn't get to talk about my Slackware install on the Triple E PC this week.
We can save it for next week, then.
You'll do it next week.
All right.
Hey, put it on the blog. I hope you're, like, taking really good notes so that you can write a how-to on that.
I did put it on the blog.
You know, the ultimate of really cool people are going to want to try that, you know.
Yes.
Anybody who's man enough to really run Slackware.
Yeah. And it runs on a flash.
Are you still putting it on floppies, guys?
We etch it into the disc with a little a magnetized
Use
pin.
Use magnets, yeah, man. A little magnet tip pen, you know? Wave it in front.
Sometimes I like to whip out the 5 1/4 disc and install it that way.
Yeah, a buddy of mine used to ask me, you know, when we were carrying around 3.5 inch in our shirt pockets, he goes, what did you do when they were 5 1/4 inch? Did you have, like, really big shirt pockets?
Just tell him we folded them in half then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, to make sure the data all got down to the bottom corner, right?
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, thank you for doing
Anytime
a show
you're coming on
security.
No problem.
Yeah.
And thank
no
you,
problem.
Gorkon, for all that you do.
Yeah.
And your wonderful blog posts and your
this
wonderful shows. And, you know, getting an EEPC and joining the cool crowd.
Yeah, I noticed you got a whole Triple E posse there on the IRC there, Dan.
We're taking over the world. One Triple E at a time.
Uh-huh. Good.
Right.
Send me one.
It's in the mail. Alan,
yeah.
Wrap it up. Send it to him.
No problem. In the envelope with the air book.
Are you going to do a John O'Bacon there? Wait 6 months till the next version comes out?
And then buy the one that runs Windows?
Yeah.
You know, that I like how he did that. Dell comes out selling Ubuntu piece laptops. They get them for didn't they get them for sale over in the UK? And he couldn't wait a week. He had to go out and buy the one with Windows on it.
Yeah.
And he is the community manager for Ubuntu.
Obviously, they don't tell him everything.
It's shameful.
Or maybe they do.
Dun, dun, dun. Where's the love? Where's the Ubuntu love?
Yeah, really.
I don't know.
Well, guys, I guess I better hit the rack because I got to be at work at 6:30 tomorrow for
good luck.
Power outage. Thanks for having me.
Good night. Thank you for coming on.
Good night. Great having you on, man.
I'll get you those pictures.
All right. Yay. Good night.
Nighty night. Hugs and kisses.
Nighty
night, Joel. Night. Hugs and kisses to you too.
See you later, Dan.
Enjoy your EEPCing.
I'm dropping off right before you start playing music too, because my kid's got to use the printer, so that means I have to unplug my damn phone.
So what? Why do you have to unplug your phone to use the printer? Is it because you don't have enough power?
Yeah, no, it's because I don't have enough Ethernet jacks.
Oh.
And I haven't had, I moved a year ago. You would think that I would have my computer equipment somewhere where I could actually get a hold of it. But I have this little, plastic tub with a bunch of odds and ends, and that has my 16-port switch in it. And it's buried, in far back corner of my closet underneath, four tubs worth of other shit. And, two or three rows in from stuff. And I just haven't done it yet. So the only thing I'm running out here where my phone and my printer is a little 5-port on the back of my wireless router. And I have just, run out of Ethernet jack. So I had to, swipe one for the phone today. And now my kid's out here telling me she has to print out something for school. So
that's when you tell the wife to go fetch it for you while you're at work. You say, woman.
Yeah.
You go get this for me. Turn off Lifetime television. Get off of MySpace and go fetch it.
Right.
Yeah.
I can tell her that. That's not a problem. The problem is, the expectation of her, whether she's going to do it or not. I already know the answer to that one.
Well, happy printing then, sir.
Yeah.
We will talk to you next week, I guess. Pat, do you want to introduce this song?
I forget the name of it. It's a Cell Dweller song.
Own Little World.
Good song. That's a hell of a name right there.
Own Little World. That's the name of the song.
All right, guys. Good night. I'm going to pop off so I don't bong in the middle of the song.
All right. Take it easy. Who's our guest next week, Pat?
You're putting me on the spot here, Dan.
Oh, wait. I'll just pull it up. Hold on.
Hey, I'm going to be doing the same thing as Link. I'm going to be popping off because I got to get
Ed
up real early, too.
Hammersluff. He is the COO of Trusted Computer Solutions, which is Linux-based security applications.
Cool.
Woo-hoo.
Deal
with the government in high security areas.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Take it easy.
Take care. Right, bye. Bye-bye.
Now I'm doing the same thing, man. Good night, everybody.
Take it easy.
All right.
Then we have Campbell Barton the following week, right?
Yes, from Big Buck Bunny.
Yes.
Which is the Blender guys.
No, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that is the following week. Huh. Wow, time's going so fast.
Yep, it's almost June.
All right, everybody, here it is, your Cell Dweller, right? Thank you for listening.
Cell Dweller, yeah.
Cell Dweller, here we go.
Cell mutual doubt, mutual struggle, for shared ground. I'm just another one for them to break down. Steeped in denial of the daily grind. Dream of a world for me and my kind. They say they all from their reality. So stick your stairs where the sun doesn't shine. I'm gonna know it doesn't matter what they say. Promise the world to take it from you anyway. So break it down, making your vision fade away. It's time to go, get out of my space. Nothing about my mind. In the end, don't do anything I'd ever want to try. Because if it exists here, I will never die. Explain the reasons, explain the rhymes. It's not required inside our minds.
It's safe to try, don't need to justify.
Take a guilt trip at the end of the line.
For the south, it doesn't matter what they say. Promise the world to take the universe away. Don't break that down, making your visions fade away. It's time to go, get off of my case.
Welcome to a world where the air I breathe is mine. Nothing can overwhelm me and nothing about my mind. In the end, won't do anything I'd ever want to try. God doesn't exist here. Slip into a world where the air I breathe is mine. Nothing can overwhelm me and nothing above my mind. Come with me and do it and you know what you will find. God doesn't exist here.
We will never die.
I'm a little world. I'm a little world.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.
That's it. That's it, Pat.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Sweep the leg, Johnny.
I'm going to go install Slack.
You should. Slack is beautiful. And it runs
and
great.
And then Fedora 9.
Slack, you don't need Fedora. Nobody needs Fedora. All right, man. Wrap it up. Wrap
have
it
a
up,
going.
Lee. You have a good one, too. Have fun.
Take it easy. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And everybody, bye-bye to you, too. I'm going to stop the recording now. Night-night, Pat. Night night, Pat.
See ya. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Good night, everybody. It's over. Let me repeat that. K3B's for wusses who don't know how to use the command line. To which you said, "Damn straight, Dan."
You're rewriting history.
Shh. Don't worry, our listeners don't care. They're stupid anyhow, right? Oh yeah, I said it. I won't piss everybody off. No, our listeners aren't stupid. They're smarter than the action show listeners, right? We should run a poll. We should put a poll in there.
I think it's all the same people, to be honest.
Shh. We should run a poll in our forums and say, who do you think's smarter, the Linux Action Show listeners, the Lot of Linux Links listeners, the Tech Show listeners?
And what happens if you listen to all of them like I do?
Well, you would vote for the Tech Show because you're a Tech Show listener. Come on, you want to be with the winning one, right? Oh, KDE toys. I never use them. I'm going to use KDevelop 4. Or KWebDev. I don't like KWebDev. KNemo. What's KNemo?
I don't know. Have you ever tried NetBeans, Dan?
No, I haven't. Is it all that you say it is?
It's really good for Java. Supposedly, it's pretty good for PHP, too.
I use JEdit, which I need to get. Speaking of that. Tech Show. Why did Link ask if we're having a listener call-in episode? Is he planning on calling in tonight?
Maybe.
I would call in, but I got AIDS. Dude, man, this Slackware is just, like, fucking sweet. I love it. I'm, like, all about Slack again. I think I might switch all my systems over to Slack.
Yeah, even your laptop that you use for work?
I don't use a laptop for work. What is it? TRSA? I think that's it. All right.
Do you update your systems?
What?
He said, you suck, you dirty bastard.
What do I
major
suck?
Major security coming up.
Yeah, with this SSH
SSL
stuff?
Yeah, SSH, SSL.
What's up there, sweet lips?
I'm up. I'm up and ready for a rumble. Let's do this thing.
How you doing, Link?
Hanging in there, man. How about yourself?
Not too bad.
Oh, God, man. I just freaking love the Slackware.
Yeah? Dan's coming back into the Slackware groove?
Yeah.
Giving you a stiffy, huh?
Doesn't it give everyone? Except for, you know who it doesn't work on for some reason? And I think that's probably because he's not a real man. Dave Yates.
Oh, I heard about that, you know. Tisk, tisk, tisk.
Dave Yates, if he was more of a man, he'd be in the Slackware.
I'm such a man, I don't even run Slackware current. I think I'm still running 11.
What are you waiting for?
Well, you know what? Time mostly, but I really don't know, other than the time, whether or not I should do a clean reinstall or try and do an upgrade. What do you think?
I always do upgrades, man. But that's because I'm an idiot.
Well, see, I'm thinking, like, if I do the upgrade, it's going to take a million years because...
Hello.
The, hey, Alan.
But is it that warm over there?
The system I'm running it on is only connected via wireless.
Yeah.
So.
But it's
what
just
are you hollering about?
It's so easy to do an upgrade. You have the air conditioner on over there?
I should just let it run.
The fan on it is running right now. Unfortunately, I only have one window in this room, so when it gets warm, I don't have any choice but to use the air conditioner.
Are you done uploading that song, Pat?
Let me see. Should be done by now. Yep, it's there. Hold on, let me just rename it real quick.
No, don't worry about it. I already moved it.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I'll be right back, guys. I got to walk over and reboot my picture frame. It's annoying the shit out of me.
Reboot the picture frame.
Yeah. I'm looking at it, and it's got a
giant
menu
blue
prompt.
Screen of death.
No, it's got a menu prompt in the middle of it. And, like, I don't have a keyboard hooked up to it, so I can't do anything. I got to plug a keyboard in. And I noticed the other day that it had lost its network connection. So I can't remotely get into it, and I'll have to go plug a keyboard in real quick and tell it to reset itself. So,
that
but, you know, ever since I built it, it's just been sitting there hanging on the wall, running and running and running. And everybody that's come here thinks it's cooler than shit, so.
I do like the idea of it.
But I'll be right back.
Oh, hell, hell, hell. How is everybody?
Alright, how are you doing?
Yeah, we're here. Tired.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. All my friends drive a gold winger. All my friends drive a gold dinger.
I'm brain dead here.
All right, I fixed all of that.
How goals, our values have become.
The darkness will flow. I can't remember the words to that song.
The darkness will flow down the river of life.
The darkness will flow.
Or something like that.
Down.
I used to know it too.
Of life streaming into my heart.
Glow.
Into my
of your soul.
What?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay,
let the sun and light come streaming
there's
into my mind.
Light burning at the
Frankenstein place.
Resident place. There's a light over at the resident place.
The picture frame is
there's
now revealed.
A light. A light.
Darkness
of everybody's life. It's astounding. Pat
no,
is
no, this got a, this,
fleeting.
There's other better ones than that one on there.
I'm going to go get our first caller.
Do I actually even have any here? Let me see if I actually have some.
Cool.
I'll be right back.
Okay, we'll be here.
Speak for yourself.
So when is Bash Potter for TiVo coming out?
Wouldn't that be cool? there are a couple of problems with that. The problem, well, the real problem is I haven't figured out a way yet to get a listing of programs that are recorded off of TiVo.
Yeah, I read somewhere, and I have to like think about that now. I thought I had something where somebody was pulling it, we were scraping the page at least.
Well, I've seen people who've gotten like XML off of there and stuff. However, I can't get that to work on my Series 2. So the only way I can think of doing it is writing some kind of a, like you said, a screen scraper.
Yeah.
And I can use curl to get the page that has all that crap on there, but I'll have to write some sort of parser utility or something, and I just haven't had the time to dick with it, you know?
Oh. Okay.
But other than that, like I've written a little thing that uses curl that will look through a file and grab the download URLs out of a file and download them, and then... You know, and then from there I can convert them off to, DivX so that they're not 900 gigs.
I was going to say, yeah, they're all a gig.
You know, or convert them off to, the format for the 770 or 800 or 810 using tablet code.
And I got Scott with me. Scott, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How you doing, Scott?
How you doing?
Scott, do you know that you're actually on live right now and being recorded?
Well, I figured that.
Okay. Are you really married to Pat?
No swearing and shit, right?
Different name.
See, because Pat said you're not brothers, you're not related other than through marriage. And he said that...
We're probably related probably about 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, that's legal, I hear, in Virginia then, right?
Of course.
It is in Massachusetts, though. So.
Awesome.
Perfectly acceptable.
Yes, go ahead, Alan. Play it.
That's for you, Dan.
I wish I weighed 98 pounds.
I would ask you who's the man in the relationship, but we already know Pat, so we know that right. Answer.
And it doesn't get much better here, so.
There is a difference. Scott has two L's, only got one L.
Oh, good. Did you leave off the extra L for savings?
No.
Can't say that. I was just thinking the same thing. Leave off the last L for savings.
Wait a minute.
That just worked perfectly.
Scott, you have the two L's, right?
I have two L's.
So you are the real Davila. Pat's just an imitation Davila.
Real Davila, maybe.
Imitation Davila.
It's very rare to run into a Davila. I'm actually quite tickled to find another one.
You should be scared.
Where are
we
you?
We are.
You're in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I actually have a bunch of cousins up in Virginia, Alexandria area.
Any relatives in Ohio or Louisiana?
You know, actually in Ohio, yes, but they're not named Davila. It's my mother's side of the family. She has a cousin from Spain. Who married a Polish lady, and I believe he was living in Jonestown.
Uh-huh.
Here's my brain tonight. I'm trying to get into my TiVo box, and I'm typing my Myth TV password in there going, why isn't this working?
That's, yes. That's telling you something you should know.
And it's telling me I probably should get some sleep.
The case of too many passwords.
Extremely too many.
Alan, I hear Ginkgo Biloba works well.
You know what, man? If you just make all your passwords password, you never have
to.
That's
easy to remember, yeah.
Or you just make them all the same name as the login name. So, like, root is root, admin is admin, Alan M is Alan M, and Metzler A is Metzler A.
Yeah, that would work, yeah.
Because, you know, it always helps, though, because when you see all those people trying to scan your SSH... and break into it, instead of them wasting your system resources, it just makes it so much easier just to set the password as the username. So when they do admin, they get right in, and then they don't have to worry about using, wasting your system.
It's not hard to get
bandwidth.
In, yeah.
Yeah. So they don't have to keep hitting it. They could just get right in, take care of their business, they're done, and, your bandwidth is back.
Right. They just move on.
That's it.
Well, I only have to do this until Link needs a beta tester for his bash potter for TiVo, so.
Yeah.
When he gets that, then I won't have to worry about passwords anymore. Just once.
What time is it? Oh, shoot.
It's howdy doody time.
It's howdy doody time. It's howdy doody time. Nobody knows that song anymore. That makes me feel almost as old as you, Alan.
You're but thankfully, I was not like I was not around when it was on.
I have a serious question. Whatever happened to Ralph Macchio?
Ralph Macchio.
I don't know, but do you know what? My wife just told me yesterday that Ralph Macchio went to school at Lehigh.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was in the paper last week.
Well, whatever happened to him?
I don't know.
He was in there was a movie called Beer League. It was Artie Lang did it. And
was
he was
in
that.
He in that, really?
Yeah, Ralph Macchio was in that.
You're lying.
No, it's good. Look for it in your myth box. Record it.
And what was the clown's name?
Oh, crap, my mom.
Clarabelle.
Yeah, Clarabelle.
Clarabelle, yes, that's it. Howdy, Clarabelle.
Honk, honk.
And that's our 30 seconds, and I think it's all
allowed. Of
course,
you know, by the time I had seen Howdy Doody, it had been in syndication for some 20 years.
For 20 years, yeah. We should open up the... Well, we did just open up the show with Howdy Doody, so...
Yeah.
We might as well get going. It's 8:31.
It was called Beer League?
That show? Beer League, yeah. It's on my comedy.
Oh, okay, there it is.
Like
Beer League. Why did I put in Bear? Really? Let me see. Oh, why did we get a pop-up? Why did that... I need to install AdBlock.
Dan, start the show.
Hold on. We're covering this.
Stop playing with Vista.
Okay, sorry.
One second. Hold on.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, Ralph Macchio was in that.
Yeah, I saw it not too long ago. About a month ago, I saw that movie.
He was like, he was Maz. What year was that made in? That was in 2006,
Yeah, he played the best friend, Ralph Macchio.
The best friend.
I thought he was dead.
Ralph Macchio?
He doesn't look like Pony Boy anymore.
Pony Boy.
Oh, listen to these movies he was in. Beer League, Good Night to Die, Popcorn Shrimp, Can't Be Heaven, Twice in a Lifetime, My Blue Heaven, TV episode, Chicken Soup for the Soul. No wonder why his career has been in the toilet. Office Party, a couple episodes of Outer Limits.
Yeah, but think of this, man. As crappy as that all sounds, he got to do like a love scene with Elizabeth Shue, who at the time I had, you know, a major crush on. She was hot.
Was that Andrew?
Yeah, he was supposed
Andrew
to be.
Do you
sister?
Remember her in like was it Karate Kid 2 or something like that?
He was supposed to be 15 in the movie. Meanwhile, he was really like 30.
Yeah.
What movie was that?
Karate Kid.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We're gonna start the show, Dad?
Yeah. All right, here we go. 5,